We're going to pick up where we left off with a little different topic. All right, well, hey, let's again ask the Lord's blessing and acknowledge Him as we go into this time together to learn more about helping those who are really, really hurting in our body. Father God, we again come to You, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. And we think, oh, thank You for being our advocate. Thank You for standing in a gap that only You could fill between us and God. And counting us righteous because we have given our sins to You. That we could go into the Holy of Holies without fearing death. Still revering You, but not terrified in the way some will be on the judgment day because of Christ and His blood. We thank You for Him. We want to know more about Him. We want to be more like Him. We want to teach Him to other people, experience Him with them, lead them to Him, lift Him up before them. He is the reason we do what we do, Lord. And help us to do it better. We love You, and we ask that Your Spirit would be welcome in our souls right now and would intercede and enlighten us for what You've got us here specifically for, what You've anointed and made possible in this time. Thanks for bringing all these folks here. Some of them didn't think they'd come, and some of them had a hassle getting here, and others are having trouble staying awake. And yet, Lord, You are good. So just be with us now in Christ's name. Amen. You know who I'm talking about. All right. you're like, it's me. It was me, wasn't it? All right. Well, intensive discipleship, you know, I'm not all that big on terms, but what we mean by that is there are those people that come to see you or are in your church or in your circle of influence and you say, that's one hurting pup, right? I mean, that person is really, really struggling. It's the kind of struggle that intimidates you, it's deep, it's profound, there's confusion going on. They seem to maybe exhibit some things that you wonder if they're physiological, you wonder if they're environmental and you just can't figure out where they came from, you wonder if they're demonic, right? And you're like, whoa, this one's going to take some time. This one's going to take some special prayer. This one's going to be inconvenient. And you're like, who do I know that could help them? come on, we've all been there. And you say, and God's like, aren't you supposed to be like, I'll go, Lord, you know? And so you begin to, and really, in a way, I think those people in our lives to intimidate us into a humble stance before the Lord. And for us to go in intercession and prayer and develop a team to hold us accountable, to not falling into the mire ourselves. Because I tell you what, suicide or intense what the world would call bipolar personality problems or adultery that has devastated the wife and the husband just doesn't seem to be able to, you know, come around, and he's still, you find him back in some other thing, even if it's not what it was, it's maybe some form of pornea, and you're just going, you know, Do I write them off? They didn't do their homework, so they're done? I don't think you have the privilege. I don't think you can do that in the church. I mean, there is a time when you say you need to go and get before the Lord and, you know, come back when you're ready, in a sense. But it's easier to do that in a counseling ministry where those aren't your sheep than in a pastorate where those are your sheep. Because he left the 99 to go to the one. Someone said to me the other day, I was in a situation where someone called me from Tennessee and said, "Can you come down? Can I fly you down here and deal with this situation?" And I said, "That would be really inconvenient right now. I've got a load of people to see." He goes, "I know, but you're the guy. I want you." Right? He's an influential guy in my church, and I'm like, "Oh, Lord, you know, what do I do here?" And I'm like, "You know, I'm not going. I got a full schedule. Somebody else will take care of it. I'm going to pray, and I'm actually going to pray that God would change the whole situation so I don't have to go, but I don't think I should go." Then I went and talked to another guy in my church who's just a real shepherd, and he goes, "Oh, yeah? What about the one?" And I'm like, "Man." So I called the guy back. I said, "You know, if you really need me down there, if you think it's the right time, if you think his heart is it all ready, if you don't think we're just playing games, I'll be there." And it was a huge thing. I mean, this thing was in the news. So this was a big deal all over the world, actually. And I'm like, "What am I doing?" But so I was going to go down there. But then by God's grace, some things shifted, and that person is going to come up and see me. So I didn't have to go. But the thing was, that was a one. This was probably an evangelistic opportunity. A guy that thought he was a Christian that wasn't. And those excite me. I don't know about you, but I like those situations where we're doing evangelistic counseling, which we do often. You know, I always say we evangelize Christians all day long, and so I was really excited about that. But so you can pray that person does come up here. It would be a huge blessing for this family. Anyway, all that to tell you, there are some situations that are just really hard. Jerry Bridges has a book that I've grown to appreciate called The Crisis of Caring, Recovering the Meaning of True Fellowship. It's a good read. I think it's in the back. Yeah, it's on. I know how frustrating it is when someone does that and you're trying to write it all down. I actually put it in as a reference. Listen to this. At the time of conversion, God incorporates us into the body of Christ. He places, I think I misquoted that, but he places, using a community relationship with all believers, we are not meant to be passive participants, or to use a business metaphor, silent partners in those partnerships of the gospel. Rather, God intended for all Christians to be active participants in the body, working partners in the enterprise of the gospel. And I really believe that it's our privilege in leadership, or even coming alongside in ministry, to create a culture and an atmosphere of caring in the church. And you can think of a lot of scripture that would support that, can't you? That the church is supposed to be a hospital for the sick. It's supposed to be known by its love. And so if the church doesn't care about people, if it's more about a politic, or if it's more about a concept, or more about a community service or whatever than it is about people, then you'll quickly know that that church is not having a vital ministry to the people around it. And I think that if you can create a caring culture within your church, you're on your way to what Rob and I talk about is a church that is a counseling ministry. And again, we've already been aware of John Piper's book. I like this quote: "Brothers, we are not professionals, we are outcasts. We are aliens and exiles in the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we wait with eager expectation of the Lord.